Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 99702 pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people. Live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free." Amen. Well, praise God for the privilege and the honor to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and remind you and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask in the mighty name of Jesus the Christ, the anointing one we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, just before I begin our teaching today, I would like to apologize for my error in closing last week. I made a mistake in scripture, and I truly ask you for forgiveness. We pride our ministry in being the best that we can be, and I made a mistake. So I just want to apologize for that. Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to continue our teaching on the ministry gifts and their purpose. So Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 11 through 16. And it says, "And he himself, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine or teaching, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Amen. So we see here that Christ gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, not all. And he did it for three reasons. Number one, for the equipping of the church, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Amen. So gifts were given to the body of Christ by Christ himself. Now there are two aspects to a gift. One can reject, or two, it can be received. So you can receive a gift or you can reject a gift. In this case, we surely want to receive these gifts so the body will be thoroughly prepared for growth of the body and the edifying of itself in love. Amen. Now, those five ministry gifts that were given to the body of Christ as revealed in Ephesians 4:11 are the apostle, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Those are the five ministry gifts. We also know that our Heavenly Father is a purpose-driven supreme being. So he has given us these gifts for a purpose. He does not do things just because he has nothing else to do. The scripture tells us he does everything decently and in order. Amen. So let's continue where we left off last week on the purpose of these gifts explained to us in Ephesians 4:12. So let's start there. It says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There's the purpose, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. All right, A, let's look at for the equipping of the saints. Now, the word equipping means to furnish or to supply, which allows the ministry gifts the necessary requirements needed to bring the body of Christ into harmony within itself. Now, the word harmony means to be in agreement or cooperation with one another. Again, harmony means to be in agreement or in cooperation with one another. Amen. So go to the book of Romans chapter 15. Again, Romans chapter 15. And we're going to read verses 5 through 7. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth. Glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Amen. So we see here that God wants us to be on one mind and one mouth or one voice. Amen. Just as he received us, then we should receive one another. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to read verse number 10. And it says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Amen. So we see here again that the word is telling us that we should all be on one mind, speaking the same thing, and that there should be no divisions among us. But I ask the question, are there divisions among the church today? Yes. Are there divisions among denominations? Yes. So why is that? Well, we're going to find out as we continue teaching on the purpose, and we're going to give the reason why, and what we can do to rid ourselves of these divisions among Christians. But we also see in the scriptures, in Romans 15, it says patience and comfort. So patience is endurance and comfort is encouragement. And it comes from God through scripture. God is the source of patience and comfort. God grants us like-mindedness according to his sovereignty. Amen. Let me repeat that. God grants us like-mindedness according to his sovereignty. To be like-minded toward one another carries the idea of living in harmony. Now, remember, we found out harmony means to be in agreement or cooperation with one another. We as Christians, we should be in agreement and in cooperation with one another. The only reason why we have this dissension and divisions among us is because we have an adversary, and his name is Satan. And he will do everything in his power to keep us divided. But we know his devices and schemes. That's why we are more than conquerors, and he loses this war. Amen. 4, we should have unity among believers, which is not unity in itself, but unity that accords to who and what Christ is. Amen. We should have unity among the believers, which is not unity in itself, but unity that accords to who and what Jesus is. The unity we have reflects the unity of Jesus. Amen. Our God, who gives us patience and comfort, will enable Christians to live harmoniously with each other. Amen. Now, we also found out that one of the purposes of the ministry gifts are for the work of ministry. For the work of ministry. You know, when I attended ministry training school in Los Angeles, California, I had a conference with the dean of the school. And one of the things that he told me was that ministry is W-O-R-K. It's work. Ministry is work. But it is good work. And it's not hard. If you are equipped with the tools that are given to us for our doing the work, the assignment given to us. Amen. It's good work. You know, I've spoken with ministers and other men that have been called to the ministry, and they tell me they're about to retire or they're going to quit the ministry altogether. They said they're just tired. They're working too hard. Now, I couldn't understand why they wanted to retire or quit. Because they want to not minister the word of God anymore. I can't understand that, because to me, this is the most rewarding work one can do. But you know what the challenge is? It can be a challenge because we have an adversary who is Satan, who wants to beat you into submission where you just give up. But if you allow the person who God sent you to help you to do his job, then you shouldn't have any problems. Amen. What I found out about most of these ministers that want to retire or quit the ministry altogether is that they're trying to do it on their own strength. And God never told you to do it on your own ability. Amen. Go with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And we're going to read verses 7 and 13. And it says this, and this is Jesus speaking. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him." Verse 13. "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." Amen. So we see here God is saying, hey, he has given us a helper. And a helper is someone who assists you to do the assignments that God has given you. See, most pastors, they want to try to do it on their own ability. And you can't do it. You can't do that because you have an adversary, Satan. And he's going to see to it in all his powers that you are going to, he's going to attempt to work you where you are frustrated and you just want to give up. But we are more than conquerors because he says, "I will send you a helper." He will send you a helper. And then he says, he will send the Spirit of truth and he will guide you. So you have a helper and you have someone that will guide you. God never told you to do the work on your own. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 28 through 30. And this is Jesus speaking again. And he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So Jesus says, hey, come and learn from me. He says, "For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Not labor and burdening. He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." His burden is light. His work is light. His labor is light. If you allow the helper, the one who is our guide, our teacher, our instructor on earth, to assist you in your assignment, you have no problem. And in terms of retiring, no. You won't retire. You just move over to another assignment that God has given you. Amen. God wants us to have the best in our lives. He never intended for his children to toil physically. Just like our natural parents wants the best for their children, well, our Heavenly Father also wants much more. So don't attempt to do the work of the ministry on your own, but rely on the helper, the one our Father has given us. And finally, those men who are in ministry and don't rely on him, they don't believe the word, because it tells us he is our helper and he is the one who is going to do the conviction. Amen. The Holy Spirit. So you have to rely on the Holy Spirit and let him guide you into the assignment that God has given you. Amen. Then we have number three, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The purpose for the edifying of the body of Christ. Well, edifying means to build up, to strengthen, or to construct. It means to build up, to strengthen, or to construct. So these ministry gifts were given to the body of Christ to build the body of Christ up, to strengthen the body of Christ, and to construct the body of Christ into a mature individual in the Word of God. Remember, faith without works is dead. Now go with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we're going to read verse number 12. And it says, even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Amen. Let me repeat that again. That's a wonderful scripture. It says, even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to read that same verse, but I want to read it from the Amplified Bible because I think it gives a little more umph to its meaning. And it says this, so it is with yourselves, since you are so eager and ambitious to possess spiritual endowments and manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Concentrate on striving to excel and to abound in them in ways that would build up the church. Amen. So we want to edify, build up, strengthen, and construct the body of Christ. Amen. So we can all be what? On one mind, speaking the same thing. Not this division and schism that we have in the body of Christ today. God is not coming back for this church in the state that it is right now. Would you? I wouldn't either. So we should all be on one mind, one accord. We should be, in all intents and purposes, be passionate, dedicated, sincere, and single-minded for the edifying of the body, the church of God. Amen. Then it tells us, until we all come to the unity of the faith. Until we all come to the unity of the faith. Now, until we all come to the unity of the faith. Now, the word all come is an inclusive expression, meaning that we can all come to the unity of the faith. We can do that. As believers, our expression of faith should be that of unity, not discord. But we have an adversary who does not want the church to be unified, so we must be aware of his devices. Go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 3 to 6. Now, we're talking about the unification of the faith. Beginning with verse number 3 to 6, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Amen. We not only should have unity in the Word of God, but also with our fellowship with one another. So the Word is telling us that another purpose is for these ministry gifts is so we can come into the unity of the faith. You know, it's very interesting that everybody wants to be the drum major. Nobody wants to be in the band. Everybody wants to be out front, the leader. But you know, the scripture tells us, for much is given, much is required. So if you have a desire to be the drum major, there's going to be much required of you. Amen. And so you're going to have to understand that. You have to learn just to do your part. Amen. Because every part together brings the body in completion. Amen. Every part together. And every part is important. There is not a part of the body that's more important than the other. Amen? They all are knitted together, jointly together, and they become one solid body. Amen? We not only should have unity in the Word of God, but also in our fellowship with one another. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts, chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 42 through 47. Yes, we should have unity in our fellowship. And it says, "And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common." Well, you know what? I am just about out of time for today's teaching. But please join us next week as we will continue our teaching on the ministry gifts and their purpose. But until then, please remember these words from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.